Welcome to In Good Faith. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry, and this is our Light the World Advent series. Light the World is a charity campaign from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that runs every Christmas season, inviting people to contribute to their communities, locally and globally, in ways that will change people's lives. You can do this through giving machines in your area, through acts of service at justserve.org, or by connecting with people who need a little more support all around you. This year's Light the World theme is Be Someone's Angel. And so instead of chocolates or toys, our Advent calendar will feature stories from some of our past In Good Faith guests about times when someone was an angel in their life or when they got to be an angel for someone else. If you'd like to find out more about Light the World, visit lighttheworld.org. It's day 9 of our Advent series. When is the last time you let a guest stay over? How about an unexpected one? Today we'll listen to stories about the kindness of those who were willing to open their homes to those in need of a place to stay. First, Maylee Solomon, the host of the Living Our Beliefs podcast, who joined us in episode 142.
The angels in the Bible are messengers with one mission from God. As a Jew, I don't see myself as an angel, though I strive to express the characteristics of an angel. For me, this takes the form of doing mitzvot, which is plural for mitzvah and generally translated as good deeds. There aren't any prescribed forms. It's more an encouragement to be thoughtful, kind, generous, helpful, and generally being of service. I keep my ears and eyes open to needs, and there are always needs, large and small. This is undergirded by the Jewish tradition, which is really heavily focused on action and not on faith. The key for me about being angel-like or doing mitzvot is that you give what you can, that you do what you can. And I really believe that each one of us is unique, right? We talk about people being made in the image of God, Imago Dei, and that each one of us has unique skills and resources. It's not that any one of us is better or worse than the other. It's that, in my view, we need to give what we can, not too much, not too little, and in the way that we can, and that we feel moved to give, and that we give without the expectation of receiving something in return. I think this is an important aspect of generosity. You give or you do for someone because you want to, you feel moved to, and it is an expression of your faith. I lived in Berlin, Germany for 8.5 years. And while I was there, there were several times when I was able to provide housing for someone. And this is very much for me in the line of welcoming the stranger. I myself was a stranger in a strange land. I'm American. And having moved to Berlin, I really felt the stress of living in a foreign country in another language, which I spoke. But for a lot of the visitors, they didn't speak it. So one time I got a call from an Israeli who had moved, was very newly in Germany, didn't really speak the language, and he had set up housing with someone, kind of a sublet situation. It was winter, and the housing situation was really not working for him. The room he got was some back room of this big apartment, and the heating system really was not carrying heat back there, so he was sick. The guy who had the apartment was not there, and this fellow was just really not feeling well, not having anyone to turn to. So he reached out to me, and I said, come on over, and he stayed with me for, I think, 4 days or so. He was in my living room on the fold-out chair, but it was warm, and I fed him warm lentil soup and some bread and some salad and really gave him a hot shower and provided him a place to recuperate and get well again. He was very grateful. It was really interesting because I got to know somebody I didn't know, and I was just so grateful to be in a position to help someone out who was not well, you know, really physically not well.
Next, Bruce Duffield, former president of the Chicago, Illinois Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who first spoke with us in episode 162.
So going back 50 years, 52 years actually, April 1972, I was 19 years old. I was a sophomore at BYU, and I was really interested in getting a summer job in Washington, D.C. I was really drawn to the seat of power, the politics, the legal opportunities there. And so a classmate of mine, Vicki Laney, lived in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside of the district. And so I was able to arrange a shared ride with her and a few other students who also lived in that area to go out to D.C. for this summer job. As we approached Maryland, Vicki said, "So, Bruce, where should we drop you off?" And I was so naive. I said, "Well, just drop me off at a hotel somewhere near the National Mall around the Capitol or the White House. And I'll just from there go and find a job." And she said, "Wait, you don't have any place to stay? You don't have a job?" And I said, "No, I just thought, you know, I know there's a lot of summer jobs available in government offices and I'll find one." And she was amazed that, you know, "What are you doing here?" And so we went to her home, and I can only imagine her conversation with her parents. "This guy, this really a stranger, is here with no place to stay, no job." I think I had like $200 with me. And I guess I imagined Washington, D.C. would be like, you just find a Motel 6 and then find a job and everything would be good. Well, there I was, and her parents, brother and sister Laney, they took me in. I remember spending that night on their couch, and they fed me dinner, gave me breakfast. Brother Laney worked at the Pentagon, so his drive for his job took him through the District of Columbia. So the next morning, he dropped me off at a corner in downtown Washington. And I spent that day walking up and down the mall, going into the Department of Justice, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Labor, looking for a job. No success. And then went back and stood on the corner at 5:30. And Brother Laney picked me up, took me home. They fed me again. I slept on their couch. This went on for 3 days until, through a bit of a miracle, I found a job at the Department of Labor. So then Sister Laney took over, helped me work through the newspaper ads to find an apartment, found a little tiny attic apartment for next to nothing. She drove me to a grocery store, helped me buy some food. She drove me to my apartment to get me set up. She taught me how to use the buses so I could get from my little apartment to my job, and saved my life. I mean, looking back, I can't imagine what I was thinking to go to this city, no job, no contacts, really no clue. And they rescued me. It turned out to be an amazing summer experience. That experience in D.C. opened a door to the next summer working at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and that opened the door to the charter class of the BYU Law School, and that, through the help of President Oaks and Dean Lee, led to a job in Chicago with a great law firm where I've practiced for the last 45 years. So some years later, after I was established in my career, I contacted Brother and Sister Laney, and I wanted to thank them for the amazing role that they had played. But they didn't really remember me. This experience, which had been so transforming to me, but it was not a big deal for them. That was just who they are. And I probably was one of dozens of people that they had helped over their lives, opening their home, doing whatever someone needed. That was just the Christ-like life they lived. My wife, Denise, and I try to follow their example. We try to be sensitive to the people around us. We open our home to people when they need a place to stay. And we try to be the kind of good Samaritan that they were to me.
Many thanks to Maile Solomon and Bruce Duffield for joining us again. Our Advent series was produced by James Sturtevant.